Fighting for Tomorrow, the story of what it's like to live and fight overseas. Brought to you, transcribed through the voice and words of a soldier who was there. Fighting for Tomorrow, the story of the war against foreign enemies, to emphasize the war against a domestic enemy, inflation. At this time, a patient in Fitzsimmons General Hospital near Denver is a guest of this program, which is produced by the District Information Office of OPA. Your interviewer is Staff Sergeant Bill Walker of the Fitzsimmons Public Relations Office. Here is technician 5th grade Gene Dorman of Indianapolis, Indiana, who fought in France with the 82nd Airborne Infantry Division. Gene, you were wounded during the Normandy invasion, weren't you?
That's right, near St. Lo.
What were the circumstances?
Well, the Jerrys were after 11 ammunition trucks that were parked nearby, and a spotter plane came over about 8 o'clock that night, July the 27th. At 11 o'clock, it was dusk, but not yet dark, when they came back with bombers to strafe and bomb. I made the mistake of deciding to change from one foxhole to another. A bomb, I don't know how big it was, landed maybe 15 yards away while I was out in the open.
15 yards? Well, I'd say, Gene, you were a mighty lucky man to be here today.
I guess I am. Blast hit my left leg, twisting the knee and tearing the cartilage. I was in the hospital in England for 3 months after that.
And then you returned to the United States?
No, I was sent back to France on limited duty for several months. Last February, I was sent to the United States and to Fitzsimmons for further treatment.
And how are you getting along, Gene?
Just fine. The Army has given me wonderful treatment for my injury.
Well, Gene, you were in an airborne outfit. Did you make any combat jumps?
I made 19 jumps in practice, but never got a chance to make one in combat because of being wounded. The 82nd made several combat jumps after that and did a darn good job.
Well, I understand you were overseas for about a year altogether. Most of that time you were in England, I suppose. What did you think of living conditions over there?
Well, the English had to put up with a lot that people in the United States fortunately missed. They had bombings, and the enemy was much closer to them, and they were in the war much earlier. I guess those are the reasons why they weren't able to dress as well as the people in the United States. The English dressed the best they could under the circumstances. The stores seemed to be full of clothing, but all kinds of clothing. Even handkerchiefs were rationed over there, and families didn't have many points to spend. It seemed to me prices were pretty high, too. I bought a few souvenirs, and I remember English cigarettes sold for 2 shillings and 4, or about 45 cents in our money.
Well, from what I've heard, Gene, prices in France were worse than in England.
I'll agree. Take cigarettes in France, a single package of American cigarettes would sell for 300 or 400 francs. If you knew where to go to buy them, we're very, very lucky, you might be able to get a package for 50 or 75 francs, or about $1 to $1.50 in our money.
Well, did you buy anything else at those high French prices?
Yes, I remember buying a meal in a French restaurant. The bill was about $7, including the tip for the waiter, which he added on.
Mm-hmm.
For that much money, I got some soup, a bottle of wine, and a main course that was vegetables and meat mixed together. I don't know what the meat was, but it looked like bacon, right?
Did it taste good, Gene?
Well, the wine did.
Mm-hmm. Well, restaurant meals in this country looked pretty good to you when you came back, I'll bet.
You're taking no chance, you bet on that. The United States looked very good, just about the same as when I left. The people appeared to be well-fed, they were well-dressed, and were lots of cars in the streets. In England and France, I got sick of seeing bicycles. I hated to see 80-year-old women riding bicycles uphill.
The OPA has done everything possible to keep our living standards close to those existing before the war, Gene. And that includes apportioning gasoline for a bit of pleasure driving, as well as all essential driving. OPA has tried, with the public's assistance, to hold prices back. And with continued public support, it will finish the job. Our thanks to Corporal Gene Dorman for appearing on this program, which is presented each week by the District Information Office of OPA.